Space. Today, Spaceship Hightower transports you to a place that prepares you for the world beyond, or at least prepares your body for its eternal rest. Some people simply get buried. Some are cremated and have their ashes creatively spread, but some go to Sumum, a Salt Lake City religious group that can really do you upright. Associated Press reports that Sumum is the one place on Earth where you can be mummified. For a fee, of course. This is not your old Egyptian mummy, but an updated high-tech process that the Sumum folks have patented after having practiced on several cadavers. The corpse is cleaned and drained, soaked in a vat of secret formula preservation fluid for up to 6 months, covered with lanolin, and wrapped with gauze. Next, the corpse gets a dozen coats of polyurethane rubber, after which it is wrapped in layers of fiberglass bandages which set the body in position for eternity. We're not through. The mummified body is then placed in a bronze container called a mummy form, much like those found in the ancient pyramids. The container finally is sealed with resin and can be topped off with a paint job or gold leaf. It's then yours to be put in a mausoleum, made into a coffee table, or whatever. Mummification is not for everyone, though, for it's a pricey proposition. First, you've got to get the corpse to Salt Lake City, about a $5,000 trip. The process itself costs some $12,000, and your standard bronze mummy form goes for $36,000. Tack on gold-leafing mausoleum space and, well, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. Already, though, 137 people have ponied up the cash to go out in style when they die, mummy style. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you like the idea but don't have the money for mummification, Sumum will do your cat for $9,000.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Non-Human Radio is made by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by ID International, a design and web agency celebrating their new office location in Camellia Courtyard next to Morning Thunder and the T-Bar. For questions about your company's logo, graphic design, or website, you can contact ID International at 892-9027 or at identity-international.com. And by Pullen Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullens has been serving the Chico community since 1918. Located at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico, they can be reached by calling 342-1055. This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM, online at kzfr.org, or on the KZFR app. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Robert Jones. We have what I think is a great show planned for today. Jeannie and I, we're going to be talking about humane meat, cruelty-free, cage-free, all that stuff, or the myth of humane meat. And we're going to invite you to give us a call in if you're interested, if you have questions or any challenges. We're opening up the lines today.
Ah, yes, the magical, mystical concept of happy meat. We invite our listeners to call in at 530-895-1114.
All that next. Jeannie.
Yeah.
Well, that was a long intro, wasn't it? I couldn't resist. I had to keep listening. So what's going on? We're talking about our favorite topic, Jeannie.
We're talking about humanely raised meat.
Isn't that interesting?
And eggs and dairy.
Humanely. People often criticize me because I have an accent. Sometimes I say humanely. I don't pronounce the H. In any event, we're going to be talking about humanely raised beef, chicken, pork, all those euphemisms. Chicken, you know, it's interesting. Chicken, you know, we have a euphemism, beef, for cow, dead cows, and we have a euphemism for dead pigs, pork. For some reason, when it comes to fowl, we mention the animal's name, chicken, duck. What's up? Do you have any idea why that is?
I don't actually. I would love to have a linguist chime in on that, but I don't actually. But it is interesting that the other terms do objectify the animal and remove the animal as an individual.
That's a good point. Yeah, so there is an objectification going on. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is just the kind of words and the kinds of movements and names that people use. So these, you know, you hear these things all the time. Locavore, people say they're locavore, they say that they're part of a compassionate carnivorism, a conscientious omnivore movement, a sustainable meat movement, and I hopefully we'll get to talk about how, quote, locavore small farm meat is actually not sustainable for 7.5 billion people, I don't think, is it?
Absolutely, yeah, and you know, we have some small farmers and ranchers in the area, and I hope that they're listening and that they want to chime in.
I'm sure that all the ranchers in the area wait every week to listen to Non-Human Radio. Sure, we have lots of ranchers tuning in. But, you know, you have the sustainable meat movement. You have the humane meat movement. Even in California, we have the happy cows, the happy meat. So there's this movement, happy meat, which is interesting. And then when we go to the store sometimes, even if we go to, say, our local cooperative, we'll see things like humane labels that say things like cruelty-free, cage-free, free-range, grass-fed. I like that one, grass-fed, organic. And then, as I mentioned before, in California, I don't know if people know this, we have happy cows. The cows are happy here in
right.
California.
Are you referring back to the milk campaign?
California
cows produce happy cows produce California milk?
Happy cows produce happy milk, California milk, and cheese. They're very happy. Well, I think what I wanted to talk about, what we wanted to address today, is this whole notion of humane meat, happy cows, and how it's a myth. It's false. Would you agree with me that there really is no such thing as humane meat? Do you think that's...
I think that if you look at the life cycle of any animal that's used for production in terms of human consumption, at some point in that animal's life, there is some kind of procedure or torture that is not something that most people will countenance for their dog or cat. And I think and even if there were nothing wrong with the life of that animal until its slaughter, in the end, that animal is not laying its neck down to be slaughtered for our consumption. That animal has desires and wishes that are contrary to that. And we do the animals a disservice. We do non-human animals a disservice when we call that humane slaughter.
Yeah, humane slaughter, it struck me as a kind of an oxymoron, humane slaughter. In reality, I mean, we can talk more about this, but even if, for the most part, even on, say, small mom-and-pop type operations, a lot of times the animals who are raised there, even if it were possible, as you described, to have this perfect, idyllic life, oftentimes the animal is sent to slaughter in the same kind of industrial slaughterhouse that Big Ag sends their animals to.
And even if not, those animals do not want that captive bolt through the head, and they do not want their necks slit. They do not want to die.
So this raises, you just brought up something I wanted to talk about. So thinking about, you know, this captive bolt through the head. So I know it sounds gruesome, but it's something that we need to talk about because this stuff ends up on most of our plate every day, our plates. So why did they use a captive bolt what is the captive bolt? Why do they use it? Why don't they just, you know, execute the animal or slit the throat? What's with the captive bolt gun?
Sure. Well, the captive bolt is basically a gun-like apparatus with a bolt, which is like a nut or bolt. It's a rod of metal that is spring-fired into the brain of an animal to render it unconscious or insensible or insensate to pain.
And the reason why they have this captive bolt and this kind of this insensate to pain is because there is something called the Humane Slaughter Act. And we have a law that says that certain animals have to be rendered insensible before they are slaughtered.
Right.
Interestingly.
And I just want to back up. The reason why it's a captive bolt, my understanding is because they don't want to waste a bullet. And because they don't want to end up with, like, bullet fragments or other projectile fragments in the carcass of the animal that would then be passed on to the consumer. So it's an economical method to kill an animal.
It's diabolically economical. And what's interesting is, under the Humane Slaughter Act, this kind of rendering animals insensate before they're slaughtered, that doesn't apply to chickens.
Right. Chickens are exempt from a lot of legislation that covers other animals.
Well, if you're listening to us right now and you're disagreeing with everything we say or you're agreeing, give us a call. What's our number here? It's
530-895-1114. 895-1114.
The lines are going crazy. There's so many people. Let me.
we have to talk about both ends of this process. This is the business of humane meat is a commercial process. There are buyers who are looking for this type of product, and they're doing it out of an effort to be kinder to animals. They don't want to cause pain, and that has to be understood. Right? And
sure.
Then you have suppliers, and you have to wonder what their motivation is. Partly, I think that, yes, they do not want to harm their animals. They do not want to cause extra harm.
Right.
But also, there is a nice premium to all these labels because the customer will support it. So the label organic has a price tag associated with it. People will pay more for an organic product. People are paying for these labelings for the cage-free, cruelty-free, free-range. These are all labels that are imperfectly defined.
Right.
There's not much legal definition. There are certainly producer associations that try to get their suppliers to adhere to them. But in the end, I can't say that that any consumer can fully trust these labels, but they're paying for them.
So let me go through an example. So, and I think you bring up a great point. So imagine that, you know, there are people who have seen videos and know about the horrors of what they call factory farming, right? And so they, in good conscience, they figure, well, there might be alternatives to raising animals in which they don't suffer, they suffer very little, and then they're slaughtered, you know, quickly and quote humanely. And so they, as you point out, the motive, say from the consumer side, the motive for purchasing some kind of cage-free, cruelty-free, happy cow, humane meat, they do have, people may have the best of intentions, right? But I think what's important for people to realize is from the birth of the animal to the death, the slaughter of the animal, it's not exactly an idyllic life. And I want to give you some examples.
Sure. Let's go through the different animals under these humane myths, these humane regimens of breeding.
Oh, and before I do that, Jeannie, there's a ton of phone calls coming in.
Great.
Right now. So why don't we take, before we take the phone call, let me just tell you, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, Chico. And let's go to that caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
Are you there? No. That caller sounds a lot like dial tone. If you want to call back, give us a call back. 530-895-1114. So, Jeannie, here's what I'm thinking about. a lot of people will say, like, when we're talking about veganism, like, why don't you eat cheese or why don't you drink milk? They don't kill the animal. So when it comes to, for example, dairy cows, well, cows are mammals. And as we know, mammals, in order to lactate, they have to be pregnant. So we get cows that are constantly impregnated to produce milk. Their tails are cut for various reasons we can talk about.
Sure, let's back it up. We're only looking at female animals.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens to all the boys in such a system?
All right? The boys. All the male calves are removed at birth, and they're either sent to the veal or they're sent to slaughter. They're sent to, you know, the producing operations or auctions or something like that. So do we have another call coming in? We haven't.
Caller on the air.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name's Richard, and I'm calling from Chico.
Hey, Richard. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say that I catch the show every once in a while, and guys, I like it because you guys talk about killing or slaughtering or murder of animals.
Mm-hmm.
In order for the earth to go to a peaceful state without people killing people, we have to first stop killing animals.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I want to tell you guys is because you're on the radio, and anything with a heart, blood, and a brain has a soul.
Right on.
Just like a human.
Mm-hmm.
And their soul isn't as evolved as ours. So they take the animal form. Of course, we take the human form, but we're still half animal.
I think some would say that humans are not that evolved either, but go on.
Well, some humans. I just want to say that in order for the earth to evolve, which is time for it to evolve, you got to stop killing the animals first. Once we stop killing the animals, we'll stop killing each other.
Richard, that's a really insightful and very wise point of view. Jeannie, wasn't it like, I think it was Gandhi who said, you can judge a society by the way they treat their animals.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, so Richard, well, thank you for that call. Thanks for those insights, and yeah.
Keep on listening.
Keep on, and yeah, call back again. So Jeannie, going back to what we were saying, so you have these male calves who are removed and that they're used to create veal. Right. So if you're buying dairy products that are produced by, quote, happy cows, you're still contributing to an industry that causes unnecessary suffering to male calves. And also the cows have to produce lots of milk per day. They're bred to produce a lot of milk, which is hard on their bodies. And what do you think? I mean, think about, you have a female cow, a mammal producing milk. It's a commodity because it's a milk-producing thing. What happens when the milk production wanes? Jeannie? Oh,
then we have a herd reduction. Then we send the old lady, who's not so old. They don't live so long as a cow, for instance, on one of the farm sanctuaries in our area.
Mm-hmm.
That spent lady cow is sent off to slaughter.
Right.
So, and often she's so weakened by these years of massive gallons and gallons of milk and calcium produced by her mammary glands every day. She has weak bones, weak hips. We actually have a law in California called the Downer Law because the dairy industry consistently has run down female cows who end up in slaughterhouses with broken hips and unable to walk. And we actually have to have a law that says those animals have to be humanely killed and have to be, I believe, taken out of the food supply. We have to have a law to tell producers not to do that.
Right. Now, I mean, I don't think that, like I said, people can have the best of intentions, but it's important for people to recognize that these are the conditions under which, quote, happy cows are raised and their milk is raised, the milk is produced. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 530-895-1114. That's 530-895-1114. If you disagree, if you think that I'm a city slicker and I don't know what I'm talking about, just give us a call. We'll take your challenge. But Jeannie, I have a question for you, too. A lot of people, when I tell them I'm a vegan, they say, I don't understand the thing about eggs. Why don't you... There's chickens, they lay eggs, and then you just eat the eggs. There's no harm. What when I see... When I go to my local store and I see a dozen eggs in a carton and it says cage-free eggs, why in the world wouldn't I be able to think, you know, this is a humanely produced product?
Oh, sure. We've talked about cage-free several times on the show, and cage-free... It's a whitewashing of the actual conditions that the animals are raised in. They're changed from battery caging, which is intense confinement, to barns.
That and battery is a euphemism for a small cage.
Right, rows or stacks of small cages. Right. 5 to 6 hens in a small cage. Small being about the size of a sheet of newspaper for maybe 7 hens. Mm. And so when they go, quote, cage-free, they remove that caging system and they put them in barns. And the hens then are in these enclosed barns. They still don't necessarily see the light of day. They're not very well ventilated. There's commonly lots of respiratory illnesses because of the high ammonia levels from chicken feces that... These are not necessarily...
So basically, these are overcrowded, massive sheds overcrowded with chickens.
Yes.
And that's cage-free.
In a nutshell, yes.
In a nutshell. And where do they get... When we're talking about egg-laying hens, of course, when an egg hatches, it has a 50% chance of being a hen and a 50% chance of being a rooster.
Right, as in the dairy industry.
And what happens to all the roosters?
You have to go back up and you have to look at the supplies. And yeah, hens are raised in hatcheries. And hatcheries specialize in sexing 1 to 3-year-old chicks and discarding the males. And discarding means killing them. Macerating them is commonly used. They may be gassed. But I think there's a commercial industrial macerator that grinds them up.
Yeah, and it's not pretty. If you want to go to YouTube, type in male chick macerator and then make sure that you have your stomach distress bag with you because it's not pretty.
Right.
So, Jeannie... We're coming to the end of this discussion, and there's a couple of resources I wanted to mention. One is online at humanemyth.org. It's a great website. And also there's a book by Hope Bohanek, who we're going to have on the show in the future. She has a book called The Ultimate Betrayal, Is There Such Thing as Happy Meat? So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, look, I eat humanely produced fill-in-the-blank, whatever it is, I think if you investigate, dig in a little bit, you'll find out that these terms, humane, cruelty-free, cage-free, they're actually, as Jeannie pointed out, they're actually just industry terms for labeling consumer products. In a nutshell, I'm going to go out on a limb here. In a nutshell, these labels, in general, are intended to make consumers feel better about purchasing what they're purchasing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think that the careful consumer would want to back it up and look at what's inside them that is causing them to make this choice, to choose this product over another product because of a label. And then to say, is my value being honored by this product that I'm buying? And I think through Non-Human Radio, and if you go to the website that Robert mentioned, thehumanemyth.org, you will find that, in fact, your values are not being honored by that product.
Great point.
And the
really
only
great point.
The best way to honor those values is to disengage. And so start learning. Start learning about how to cook without and bake without eggs. It can be done. I've been doing it for 25 years.
Nice.
Check out our vegan potlucks. They are great. And you get to see that, no, you won't starve as a vegan.
Excellent. Jeannie, thank you. And speaking of potlucks and people engaging, what's going on with the vegan calendar of events?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Coming up on July 2nd, if you're in the Red Bluff area, the great vegans up in Red Bluff are holding their second monthly vegan potluck, and more power to you, huh? Red Bluff is the home of the Red Bluff Roundup, a seat of ranching in the North State, and more power to you.
Go Red Bluff.
There is a protest going on July 2nd. The Sacramento-based animal liberation group Guardians of Liberation are organizing a protest against the annual Folsom Rodeo. The Folsom Rodeo features bull and bronco riding, mutton busting, and bull jumping. And in case you don't know, mutton busting is an event where 5 and 6-year-old kids ride adult sheep like broncos. And though mutton busting is promoted to the public as a classic Western tradition, I did some research and I found that it really only dates back to the 1970s or so. So much for tradition.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be Saturday, July 2nd from 5:30 to 10 p.m. Check out the group Guardians of Liberation on Facebook.
I think, you know, another tradition here in the West is indigenous genocide, too. So we can talk about that sometime.
Traditions
should be held up. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And then one more event that I want to share is the on July 16th, we're having a vegan drinks and happy hour, just a social get-together at Tres Hombres from 4 to 6 p.m. It'll be our first ever Chico Vegan Happy Hour. So if potlucks are not your thing, come on over to Tres Hombres to meet some other vegans, have a cocktail, or not. You don't have to drink to attend, and just mingle. The event will be at Tres Hombres in downtown Chico at 1st and Broadway. Everyone is welcome.
Wow, hard-drinking vegans. You know, my mother used to say, vegans don't live longer. It just seems that way. But actually, see, vegans can have a lot of fun, as you and I demonstrate here each week on the radio. Jeannie, what about our vegan almanac?
Okay, so this is a new feature of Non-Human Radio. And on this day in 2015, Cecil the African lion was shot with an arrow by American dentist and big game hunter Walter Palmer in Hwange National Park in Zimbabwe.
That's been a year already since
Yes, and I thought it would be good to remember this.
Yes.
And that was just the beginning. That began approximately 40 hours of suffering for Cecil, who was not put out of his misery until July 1st, when he was shot and killed by his guides, by Palmer's guides. Cecil was a 13-year-old, magnificent, charismatic African lion and an icon of Hwange National Park and of the researchers there who do lots of research on wild roaming lions up there. Two men in Zimbabwe are currently being prosecuted in relation to the hunt, and the dentist Palmer has not been charged with any crime. He's welcome, I understand, to come back to Zimbabwe, but as a tourist and never as a hunter again.
Oh, that's a tough penalty he
He's receiving plenty of like social punishment, I'm sure. Anyway, as our listeners may remember, last year this killing resulted in international media attention and caused outrage among animal conservationists as well as animal rights activists, and a huge negative response against Palmer. So 5 months after the killing of Cecil, the U.S. Official Wildlife Service ended up adding two subspecies of lion, one in India and one in Western and Central Africa, to the endangered species list, which includes Cecil's tribe, which makes it more difficult for U.S. citizens to kill them. So rest in peace, Cecil. We will never forget you.
And Jeannie, that reminds me, we're going to have to do a show on sport hunting coming up. As you might imagine, I would guess you and I are not big advocates of sport hunting.
No.
I have something to say about that. But before we say goodbye, we have one last bit of business to take care of. Jeannie, will you do the honors and present the Animal Rights Subversive Thought of the Week?
Absolutely. This week's Animal Rights Subversive Thought of the Week comes from the vaults of animal rights scholarship and history. I'm looking back to 1983 to the book The Case for Animal Rights, which was written by philosopher and activist Tom Regan. He wrote, "It is not an act of kindness to treat animals respectfully. It is an act of justice."
Hear, hear, Tom Regan. That was Tom Regan, The Case for Animal Rights. It's kind of a landmark book in animal rights. What a wise man. It's not an act of kindness to treat animals respectfully. It is an act of justice. That's great. Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. Thanks, as always, to our engineer, Sue Hilton. Sue, thanks for doing that. Look at that. She takes care of everything. Thanks, Sue.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM, Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, or its staff. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist rockers Rise Against. If you missed any portion of this show or you want to listen again or have your friends and family listen, visit us online at nonhumanradio.com. And be sure to stay tuned for The Real Issue with Sue Hildebrand coming up next. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind.
And go vegan.